In today's episode of the Hoth Hangout Podcast, we're comparing Star Wars voice actors versus live action actors. Which version is better, and which one do we like more? Stay tuned to find out our favorites.
Welcome back to the Hoth Hangout Podcast, where the banter is cooler than a Wampa's hug.
I'm Ben.
And I'm Joey.
And we're here to break down all things Star Wars, the movies, the shows, and beyond. And maybe even a few hot takes along the way from our icy corner of the Outer Rim.
Whether you're here for deep dives into the saga, theories from a galaxy far, far away, or just to hang out with fellow rebels and scoundrels, you found the right cantina table.
So grab your lightsaber, park your X-Wing, and get ready.
Because this is the Hoth Hangout Podcast.
As a quick reminder, if you're not subscribed to the Hoth Hangout Podcast on YouTube, check us out there and subscribe for the video version of every podcast, as well as our reactions to the latest Star Wars shows.
You can contact us via email at hothhangout@gmail.com with your Star Wars thoughts or questions.
You can find the Hoth Hangout Podcast anywhere you get your podcasts, including both Apple and Spotify. Additionally, please consider leaving a 5-star review, as it does allow others that love Star Wars to more easily discover the podcast as well.
Connect with us on Instagram, TikTok, or X at Hoth Hangout on each of those platforms, or in the Hoth Hangout community Discord server.
Lastly, you can watch the live stream of the episode on either YouTube or Twitch at Hoth Hangout on each of those platforms.
Now let's jump into today's episode.
Welcome in to the newest episode of the Hoth Hangout Podcast. Hope you're having a fantastic day. As you heard in the opener, we're discussing all things animated Star Wars versus live-action Star Wars actors today. Going to get hopefully some feedback from all of you, those of you watching the live version of the podcast as well, with which one you think did the better job in the role. And excited for this one today as well. Joey, how are you doing?
Pretty good. I think you and I had the same idea that it's getting a little colder here now in our Midwest, respective Midwestern towns. And we got the hoodies. It's getting a little cooler. It's almost the end of the year. We're getting closer to things like Visions, which is going to be coming up pretty soon. And I think that was all the left that's with Star Wars this year, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, we're going to ease into the holiday season with our hoodies and with our hot chocolates, and you know who doesn't love a little Phantom Menace during the holiday season? I think that's what we're going to be doing, right?
Oh yeah, definitely, for sure. It's been a minute since I've seen Phantom Menace, and speaking of which, that'll be one of the a little bit of a hint. That'll be one of the characters we're talking about in today's episode as well. Before we get into our talk about that, by the way. How are you feeling about Star Wars Visions Season 3? It's only 6 days away.
You know what? I've just been so busy that I haven't even thought about it until I looked at the date and I realized that's it. What is it? 6 days away? Was it October 29th? Is that right? That it's supposed to come up. So just 6 days away from the third installation of Visions. And I'm pretty excited for it. You and I really love the anime interpretation of a lot of these Star Wars stories. And yeah, I'm excited to see. What about you? What are you are you hyped for that?
Oh, I am. Yeah, that was one that when it originally came out, you know, I was like, I'll probably pass. And then I watched it and I was like, oh my gosh, this is the best thing ever. Mm-hmm. And it's become one of my favorite Star Wars installations since the Disney acquisition. And I don't know what time they're coming out, but if it's at a reasonable time, I'm going to try to watch them as soon as they come out, and you know, unless of course it's at 2 a.m which I really hope it's not, but
yeah, me too.
Remains to be seen. So yeah, excited for that. But yeah, as we mentioned off the top, it is voice actor versus live action actor in today's episode. Before we get into our discussion about which one we prefer in their certain roles, we've got just a couple quick pieces of news for today's episode. The first of which involves Star Wars Hunters. This was a mobile game that we covered, actually, the release, the launch of this game when it first debuted on the podcast. I don't know the date. We could probably look it up real quick. I want to say off the top of my head, it's like about a year and a half, maybe, since this has come out, would be my rough estimate. Mm-hmm. And it's sad to say the game is officially closing. I did put about an hour into this game back when.
Oh, so you were the problem. Oh, I see.
Yeah, exactly. I was the market they were shooting for and then didn't enjoy the game maybe as much as... I think it was like a 4v4 or 5v5, like, arena. It's funny. I didn't even play it long enough to know what style of game it was, but...
it was like a 4v4, 5v5 arena type of game. Best of three, you know, the usual. Each of the characters had their own abilities. There was like a Mandalorian. There was there's some Jedis. There was all these types of different characters. And it was a lot of fun. It was actually a lot of fun for what it was. But unfortunately, it looks like one of the things that the Hoth Hangout has lasted longer than in Star Wars was Star Wars Hunters. We could probably throw the Acolyte in there too. That we should probably do that. Let's see what Star Wars things has this podcast outlasted.
That's next week's episode. all the things that our podcast has outlasted in the world of Star Wars. I bet you we could come up with a pretty good list, actually. Like,
right? Yeah, like movies, probably, oh, yeah. and TV shows, and yeah.
We realized concepts. Last podcast that we've been doing this for 3 years, and we were like, oh. Wait, it has been 3 years.
Yep.
Yeah, got that little YouTube notification, and I was like, oh my gosh. And then you mentioned it last time as well. So, but yeah, Star Wars Hunters, farewell as it rides off into the sunset of mobile games that seem to inevitably live out their shelf life. And it was good while it lasted. Or was it, question mark? I don't know. But
I guess maybe it wasn't good enough, apparently.
Yeah. Star Wars Beyond Victory is what our second piece of news is about today. And this is a VR game, a Star Wars VR game. What do you know about this Star Wars VR game, Joey?
Not much, to be honest. I mean, VR has never been really my thing. I'm not sure about you. But yeah, it's just... I just get... Have you played VR before?
Oh, man, I went through a phase. Have I never told you this?
Did you? No, I don't think so.
I went through a big VR phase. So when the Oculus first came out, I have one now, but at the time I didn't. And I remember one of my friends had one and she showed it to me and it was Beat Saber. Mm-hmm. And my family also loves Beat Saber now too, nice. Let me tell you. But Star Wars VR, not so much. I don't think I've ever played a Star Wars VR game. I'm not opposed, but I have noticed that whenever I use a VR set for more than like probably half an hour, I start to get a headache. So I don't hardly play ever anymore. But I still enjoy it when I do. Yeah. You're not much of a VR guy?
Not really. I actually have never really got into it. I think this is more of a pod. I think there's like some pod racing in this particular game, which I think would be actually pretty fun. I don't know how quickly it moves. I feel like I would just get dizzy, unfortunately, with the VR game. So I'm thinking maybe that it wouldn't be, down my alley. But I think it'll be, there's some people that'll definitely, people would appreciate it.
Yeah, especially pod racing. I feel like that would really be a doozy. By the way, Kid Caduceus in chat asking us if we've been around longer than Resistance. Resistance came out in 2018, and I think it ended at the end of 2019. So in terms of longevity, yes.
Yes, right, yeah.
We started our podcast after Resistance had already concluded its runtime. So kind of, I guess, in that regard. But yes, Star Wars Beyond Victory VR going to a store near you soon. I didn't see a date for this, or perhaps it's already even available on the Meta Store. Did you see a date that this actually...
I thought I saw it was available, but I could be...
Oh, yeah, there it is.
Yeah, it says available now, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, pick it up for $20, it looks like, on the Meta Store. If you're a VR fan, it is...
So do you still have your VR set up then?
Yeah, I do. You know what's funny? We've been in the new house for almost almost 2 months now, and I still haven't played VR once since we moved in here. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've just been doing a whole bunch of other things and staying busy. But now that you say that, I might have to break it out tonight for about 20 minutes or so. Get a good song or two in of Beat Saber. Our third and final piece of news for tonight before our main segment that we're discussing. Artist Drew Struzan sadly passed away at the age of 78 recently after a long battle with Alzheimer's. He's most well known for making tons of iconic movie posters, kind of from that late 70s era, even all the way up into the 2000s, notably Star Wars posters, Indiana Jones posters, Back to the Future posters, Harry Potter posters. He's kind of most well known for designing all of those. So sad to see a legend in the, I don't know if graphic design is the category perhaps, but
just art, just general art.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. In the art world, leave us too soon. And after a long battle with Alzheimer's. So, but that's the cool thing about art too, is that, even after its creator passes away, it's memorialized for, years and years and lifetimes to come. We'll be looking at these posters and thinking about this man's work. So, in that way, his memory and who he is really lives on through his work. And, Star Wars is a small piece of that, but it's definitely something we wanted to make sure and mention, in today's episode, since he did contribute to kind of the iconicness, especially in that late 70s, early 80s era of Star Wars. So King Caduceus in chat saying he did the poster for Mallrats as well. Yeah, nice. He's done a ton of stuff. I was reading his bio before we started real quickly, and he's done just an incredible amount of movie art posters. Just E.T. was in here too, Blade Runner, The Thing. I mean, this guy, if there was an iconic movie poster, this guy probably made it.
Yeah. Just, so when I saw this come across the news feed, I knew right away, the impact that he had on not only, just pop culture in general. You think of these posters. You remember when you're growing up as a kid, you see these posters and you're like, ooh, I'm going to want that poster for my room, or, and, of all the Star Wars, Indiana Jones, everything. He kind of had that particular style down, and it was his... Mm-hmm. That was his calling card. That was his particular art, So right. To have seen what he has done all this time, I would love to just see just all of the posters all in one shot, and realize, like Caduceus says, like, he didn't even realize, like, did it for Mallrats, So I don't know. Were you a fan of like Clerks and Mallrats? And
I wasn't. I don't know if I was of the generation enough to appreciate it probably the way it deserves to be appreciated, but I'm aware of it. I'll say that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, just the impact, the cultural impact that he had in the entertainment industry with his art, is unmatched at this point.
Yeah. And, it's funny, like, how much of that iconic 80s, or not even 80s, but just like retro movie poster, when we think of the words retro movie poster, like, this man is probably the person who almost created that identity of a retro movie poster. So, certainly a talented individual, and he'll be missed, of course, not only by his loved ones, but by all of us who he impacted over the years, who are fans of Star Wars and movies alike. So, well wishes to his family, and rest in peace to a legend in the world of art and all of his contributions to it. So wanted to make sure we included that there in the news as well before moving into today's main category, main topic, Star Wars live action versus animated actors. When we were, talking about this episode, I think after our last time's episode, we were kind of thinking about how we wanted to do it. And I'm going to be advocating for the voice actors in today's episode. And the animated, I guess, is another way of looking at that.
Right.
And Joey, you're going to be advocating for the live action versions of those characters. we're kind of more so looking at the character itself. If I'm understanding fully where we're headed today, we're kind of looking more so at the character itself. It's the character's role, either in the film or the show, depending on if it's live action or animated, and which character really personifies what we think that character ought to be, whether that is the live action version or the voice actor version, as well as taking into account maybe some, you know, interesting subtleties about the actors themselves who are portraying those characters. Did you have anything you wanted to kind of mention as a preface to any of this before we kick things off?
I think it's, you know, this could be divisive, you know, of who, you know, the, of, you know, who, which actor, which actress we think is, you know, quote unquote better. But, you know, I think it's worth it to say this is going to be a fun discussion, and that it's going to be, you know, we're just going to be pointing out, you know, just specific things about, you know, these actors, specific things about their performances, that we believe, you know, either, you know, think that we think that they performed it a little bit better than their counterpart, maybe, you know. So I think it'll be a fun little discussion. But of course, we love everybody that has played any of these parts. I think that would be the disclaimer here. So if I don't know, I don't think I'll go in, you know, any, you know, I won't be dirty about any of the things I say, I don't think, but who knows? Maybe you and I get a little competitive and we start throwing, you know, not, we stop pulling our punches, you know?
Yeah. I'm looking at my notes and I only have one jab at any of the live action characters. So,
fair.
You might actually be able to guess what it is based off of, we're doing four characters today, by the way. Mm-hmm. Obviously we have to choose characters for this episode that appear both in live action and in animated form. So should we go through the characters one by one, or should we give an overview first of the four characters we're going to be doing?
Yeah, I mean, we could, I think we just, you know what, we'll just jump in, you know, let's jump in and then, you know, we'll see what comes of it.
All right. Let's do it. Ahmad Best was better than Ahmad Best. King Caduceus says in chat. Gotta love us some Jar Jar.
Who was the best best?
The best best was best. Mm-hmm. Well, to kick things off, we're going to go right down the list here. Our first of four characters we're talking about today, Ahsoka Tano. Now, this character is probably, I don't know if I want to hop straight into my argument for why I prefer the animated version, but just briefly, the character did debut in animated version, animated form first. And then, of course, later in the Ahsoka show that we got, what has it been? 3 years now?
That's all right.
Two to three years?
Two and a half, yeah.
Yeah. We obviously got to see Rosario Dawson play the role after Ashley Eckstein had basically been almost synonymous with the role since its inception in the 2008 Clone Wars movie. As you can see, if you're watching the video version of the podcast, even in the profile image that we have for Ashley Eckstein, she's got this really cool Ahsoka sweatshirt that she's wearing. I gotta get one of those, by the way. I like the way that looks. Yeah, nice. That's pretty cool. Do you want to start things off first with the live action, or do you want me to start with
I think
animated?
We should start with we should start with the animated, because that's where she originated, I think.
Sure, yeah. Okay, well, as I said, Ashley Eckstein is the actress who portrays the role of Ahsoka Tano in pretty much every single animated Star Wars project. So that began in 2008 with the Star Wars The Clone Wars movie, followed up shortly thereafter by the Star Wars The Clone Wars show, which she played, I think, from 2008 all the way to like 2014, and then again in 2020 when they brought it back for the seventh season. She also plays Ahsoka in Rebels, and most recently we saw her in Rebuild the Galaxy, Pieces of the Past. I think she's even in like Forces of Destiny as well. Was on her IMDb as I was looking at that. I was writing a lot of this stuff down. And did you know she actually got her acting start in community theater as a child before transitioning to television before she eventually landed the role of Ahsoka Tano? And of course, another notable role she has as Ahsoka is in The Rise of Skywalker as a voice credit. That's not a huge spoiler, I hope. I hope there's a the statute of limitations on spoilers for Rise of Skywalker has expired. What has it been?
I think if you sum it up with the fact that you're watching a Star Wars podcast. So I think the two things, I think we're past the statute of limitations.
Yeah, yeah. Her birth name, by the way, was Ashley Drain. Her last name, Eckstein, is the last name of her husband, David Eckstein, who was a former Major League Baseball player. Another thing I didn't know as I was looking some of this stuff up. Okay, last thing about her before I get into the character of Ahsoka. I thought this was really cool.
Okay.
My whole life, every time I see like a video of Ashley Eckstein, I'm like, gosh, she looks familiar, and I've never understood why. I finally, as I was preparing for this episode, finally figured out why.
I think I know where, but let's see it.
Do you want to take a guess before I say?
Is it from Brady Bunch?
She was in the right. I think like the reboot of it in the early 2000s. And she was on like three different Disney Channel shows.
Oh, she was.
She played a girl named Muffy on That's So Raven, who was kind of like a bully character. Hmm. She played a girl, Grace, in Phil of the Future, who I don't really remember. Mm-hmm. And she played Josh's really crazy love interest in Drake and Josh.
Wow. She's Disney through and through.
Yeah, I think that last one's Nickelodeon now that I think about it. But like, she's been on all these shows. Mm-hmm. And so like, when I see her in these interviews my whole life, I'm like, how do I know this actor? I feel like I've seen her in something. And it was like all these shows that I watched as a kid, you know what I mean? So anyways, I thought that was kind of worth bringing up as a little bit of a fun preface to the main part of her playing Ahsoka. I think what it really comes down to, though, when you talk about her role as Ahsoka Tano, she arguably more than any other actor we're talking about today, across all four of the characters we're discussing, we're talking about 10 different actors, because two of the characters have not just two, but three actors who play them. Of all 10 of those actors, I would make the case that she most is synonymous with this character. Like, she embodies the role both as the actor and as the character. She brought the character to life by portraying her in the movie. For what it's worth, I thought maybe you could use this as anti-animation ammunition. She was not well-liked in the original debut in the 2008 film. For anyone who hasn't seen that movie, she's kind of whiny in the film. She is not a super likable character, which I'm going to argue actually makes her transformation in animation that much more meaningful. With where you are at with Ahsoka in season one of Clone Wars and where she ends up at the end of that show and her mentoring role in Star Wars Rebels, and especially, you know, by the end of that show, particularly, I love the World Between Worlds storyline with her and Rebels a lot. I think she just is so synonymous with the character of Ahsoka Tano. And before I turn things over to you, I gotta just say I'm super biased towards Ahsoka Tano in terms of my favorites. I do have a dog named Soka. I've gotta say I love Rosario Dawson. I think she played the character very well. I don't think anything ever compares for me to the way that Ashley Eckstein, like, literally is Ahsoka. I feel that way, you know? What are your thoughts on either Rosario Dawson or the comparison between the two of them?
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, when you're in high school, right, you don't have, like, the best basketball team. We always go back to sports, right? Mm-hmm. Your team isn't, like, the best, but they're decent. But then they go up against, like, the reigning state champions, right? This is what I'm going to feel for this particular battle here because of all of what you said. So preface everything I say with that because, yes, I agree with a lot of what you said, obviously. But my argument is for Rosario. Obviously, this is, you know, why we're here. You know, I don't have all the facts like you do, so you came much more better prepared than I did with the particular actor in question. But I know that she's been, you know, she's very versatile too, Rosario Dawson. She has been in many roles. She was in the movie adaptation of Rent. I'm not sure if you've ever seen that. Mm-hmm. She played Mimi Marquez, so she's a performer in that way. We had mentioned Mallrats earlier. She was actually in the sequels of Clerks. She was in Clerks 2 and Clerks 3, so kind of a comedy, comedic chops there. And for those who want to go back to long ago era in the 90s, she was actually in the movie Kids. If you haven't watched Kids, don't watch Kids with your parents around. It's something else. So I don't want to go into any of that. This is more of a family-friendly type of stream. So we're just going to move along from that. But so she definitely has the chops. Oh, yeah. And the Netflix Daredevil show. I like Gibbo's feeding me stuff, too. So he's on my side, actually, Ben, just to let you know. But yeah, and Daredevil as well. So action star. So, you know, all these things that Rosario can do is amazing. So, you know, that's her, some of the things that she's been in. Now, the portrayal of Ahsoka Tano, now it's going to be a big shoes to fill. Although I don't know if we call those shoes, you know, if you look at the, you know, they're like more of a kind of a sock, but you know, whatever. So I think with Ahsoka, Rosario Dawson playing Ahsoka, she had a, you know, there's a lot in front of her that she had to take in. But one thing that I remember when there was some talks about Ahsoka becoming the live action, one of the first people that that fans really gravitated was Rosario Dawson as Ahsoka. So that was a fan choice. That was something that not even anything really, you know, no one else really said anything, you know. But the fans saw Ahsoka Tano and what she was in the animated series and immediately went to wanting to get Rosario Dawson. So I think that's one point in her favor, right? Now, she's an older version of Ahsoka now, a much more mature, much more deliberate type of Jedi. And I keep calling her Ahsoka, but because she's Ahsoka, right? You know, but Rosario Dawson really played that well. She may have not been more as, you know, this, no pun intended, animated as, you know, the animated version. And you and I have talked about this, Ben, how there are some things that you can get away with in the animated world in comparison to the live action world. Imagine Ahsoka Tano in live action, acting like how she does in animated. I don't think that would carry over right? It just wouldn't look right. It wouldn't feel right. It would feel forced. I feel like people wouldn't enjoy that. Now, you know, all that to say, okay, she did get a little bit of criticism because she was a little bit, you know, some people thought she might have been a little too stoic, a little bit too serious. But with all the things that she had seen up until that point, I believe that that's the motivation that she has as an actor to play this role. So I think that's something that maybe we don't really talk about too much, but you know, this is the reality of that role, is that she's aged, she's matured. And let's talk about how she had trained for this, with all of her lightsaber scenes and everything like that. I mean, it was, you know, the dual wielding sabers and everything like that. It felt like Ahsoka in the animated series, but also just older. And, you know, the choreograph was great. So I think Rosario Dawson being Ahsoka Tano was the perfect fit in the live action world. Yes, we can have these two things. We can have nice things, Star Wars. It's fine. We can. But at the same time, I think the live action version of Ahsoka, not only did the fans want it right away, not only did she just perform just really well, I just think that, you know, what we wanted to see as Ahsoka on live action, that is what Rosario Dawson brought to the big screen.
Yeah. Yeah, I think she definitely embodies the role in a really positive way. And I don't think I was ever necessarily in the camp of people that were like doubtful that she would be able to do that. Mm. If anything, I feel like I was optimistic about kind of her role as Ahsoka. And like you said, I appreciate what you said about like when you're transforming something from a animated character to a live action character, which I feel like oftentimes it's the opposite direction. When you're doing it from animated to live action, you almost want to be like true to the character, but intentional to make it different in a very obvious way that doesn't take away from the spirit of the character. So I feel like Rosario Dawson is a good pick in that regard. I still don't know if that like takes away from, for me, just like the iconicness that Ashley Eckstein brings to, like when I think of Ahsoka, like I hear her voice immediately, you know what I mean?
I will say the point that really takes away from me is that shit, they used Ashley Eckstein's voice in Rise of Skywalker when the live action version exists. But you know, to your point, that's the voice that you hear.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And to be fair too, like Ashley Eckstein has been part of Star Wars for 17 years. Rosario Dawson's been part of Star Wars for less than 3. So time is on the side of Ashley as well, probably, for whatever that's worth. But as we go on throughout today's episode, just kind of those of you listening, whether it's on the socials or if you're watching the stream live on YouTube or Twitch, let us know your thoughts down in the comments. Which of these two actors do you think embodied the role of Ahsoka Tano more favorably, at least in your opinion? Let us know your thoughts. All right, we've got Ahsoka. We've heard kind of each side there. I don't really know, Joey, if we want to come to like a finality of like this actor is better than this actor.
Right. I think we leave it to the listeners. You know,
Yeah.
You know, you could discuss this and you could think about it, and you know, whatever you guys think as well. We would love to hear.
Yeah. I think that's a good way of going about it. I definitely had the most info for Ahsoka's character. But the next character we're going to be talking about, our second of 4, is Anakin Skywalker. Now, this is a fun one. Do you want to do animated always first, or do you just want to do the way that character was first introduced? So, like, for example, Anakin was obviously in live action before he was in animation.
Yeah, maybe we'll just, like, we'll switch each time. You'll go, then I go, so then I'll go in this one.
Sure, go for it, yeah.
So, Hayden Christensen, right? I'm going to go a little different here. We're going to go kind of the things that people didn't like first about this character, but then I'll tell you a reason why it actually works, right? Hayden Christensen, I mean, obviously played, you know, Anakin Skywalker, episode 2, episode 3. The way that he had initially came off on screen for me, you know, I'm gonna do like a personal, you know, this is how I saw it. He was pretty much exactly what he should have looked like, you know, everything that he was, you know, with the hair. Obviously he was a Padawan at first, and then like the feathered hair in episode 3 reminded me of Luke, you know what I mean? So that, you know, and that was very purposeful, right? But the way that he portrayed it at first to me didn't seem quite where I expected it to be. A little whiny, a little bit, almost privileged because of who he was. He like knew he was all this, but the reason is because it's true. This was the guy. This turns into Vader. He is not going to be completely balanced, right? And to be able to portray that on screen is tough, because you're expecting this incredible bad villain from the start. When you see, you know, when you first see Vader in New Hope, you're like, okay, yep, that's the bad guy, right? But we're not talking about him. We're talking about the story that goes into that Vader, right? So the way that he was written through the prequels I think that it was confusing at first, because it didn't seem like you know, that's the villain that I knew. That's the Vader that I knew. But because of that conflict that he had to get through, I believe that that's, you know, and this is more talking about the character, obviously, of Anakin, right? That he had to turn to the dark side, and all the inner conflicts and everything that he had to go through because of it. The way that he ends up doing it, Hayden Christensen, seems accurate, seems appropriate for that, you know? Were there, and those things like, you know, we always make fun of, like, you know, I hate sand, that whole thing. I feel like that would be one of the things that, you know, somebody like Vader would have, like, you know what? I hate sand. Like, just kind of randomly, like, you know, and then you go over, like, who hates sand? I'm like, well, you know, Vader. I mean, imagine all the Imperial officers and stormtroopers, like, hearing, like, Vader hates sand. They'd be like, man, that dude's crazy. You know, like, just, you know, so, you know, you have to, like, think of it from that level, you know? So a kind of an unbalanced type of character throughout. I think Hayden played it really well. And then he comes back in the Kenobi series and just kind of, you know, knocks it out of the park there. And let's talk about his lightsaber skills. Hello. You know, amazing, you know, that he's able to do all the things that he can do. Of course, we're going to be, you know, spoiler alert, we're going to be talking about Obi-Wan a little bit later too. But be able with Ewan McGregor and him, I mean, that's a slam dunk. Like, and I can't even imagine another person playing this role now. You know, maybe, again, time is on his side. Maybe not as much, you know, like, that difference between Rosario and Ashley was pretty big. But this one's a little bit smaller, you know, so because the, you know, Hayden Christensen and Matt Lanter, they're a little bit closer in the time that they've been with Star Wars. So I think that Hayden is Anakin Skywalker, though. I can't imagine this role being anybody else's other than his.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely the, when I think of Anakin, I do think of the live action version. And I think a lot of that is similar to the way that when I think of Ahsoka, I think of the animated version. Like, it's mm-hmm. it's the first one of the character, you know, like the right, character's debut was in that medium. I'll speak a little bit to Matt Lanter, and then maybe I'll tie that back into reasons why maybe he ought to have the edge versus Hayden Christensen. So Matt Lanter, for those that may not know, is the voice actor for Anakin Skywalker, most notably in the Clone Wars, Star Wars The Clone Wars series. And he also played the character in Star Wars Rebels as well, and in the Battlefront 2 video game. Just a quick kind of fun fact about Matt Lanter. The reason he was cast as Anakin Skywalker, well, at first he began his career in modeling, and then he landed a role on the TV show 90210, which is how he was recognized, and then they brought him in for an audition for actually, when Dave Filoni brought him in for an audition, Filoni didn't tell him he was auditioning for Anakin. He said, the character you're playing is kind of like a mix between Luke and Han, which is sort of an interesting way of describing Anakin. It kind of makes sense when you think about it. But it's just kind of a, you know, it's a fun fact that he didn't know he was auditioning for the role when he went in to say his lines for it. So also just a couple more fun facts. He appeared in The Mandalorian episode 6 as a New Republic soldier. So he has a live action appearance as well. And also voiced Anakin in Tales of the Jedi, which came out, I think, 3 years ago now. So, Matt Lanter as Anakin, while he might not be the first thing you think of when you think about the character of Anakin Skywalker, and I can definitely like admit that and concede that, I think the character of Anakin is more thoroughly developed in the Clone Wars than he is in the prequel films. Of all the versions of Anakin in the prequel films, I definitely like the episode 3 version the most, the way he's portrayed. And at the same time, if you look at his, whether you want to take just episode 3 or the course of the whole prequels, it just feels fast. You're like, you went from being this Jedi who, saves Obi-Wan from the ship. Granted, he also did cut off Dooku's head when old Palpy told him to before they knew he was Palpy. To just his descent to the dark side feels fast. You feel like you're reading every 10th page of a book when you look at the trajectory of Anakin's story, the live action version of Anakin's story. And I think that's why I like the way that Matt Lanter portrays Anakin. There is a particular emphasis on his caring nature, especially towards Ahsoka. You see him wrestle a lot more, and it makes the payoff of what happens in Revenge of the Sith, the live action version of Anakin, it makes that payoff feel even more understandable, because you've sat with the character for a longer amount of time. He's wrestled with more of these feelings for Padme while the Jedi are telling him, Jedi don't have significant others. Jedi don't get married. Jedi don't have kids. You see that wrestle, that inner turmoil more in the show than you do in the movie. And so I think it makes the character more full. And I think that's ultimately what Matt Lanter brings to Anakin Skywalker. So while he might not be the first thing you think about when you think about Anakin, I think the animated version of Anakin is able to show a more complete transformation and downfall from Anakin to Vader, because there is a longer period of time in order to flesh out the character. And my only other thing I was going to say was that I think episode 2 Anakin gets a little bit of a downgrade for the live action version, just because he is a little bit more annoying than any other version of Anakin, I think. So if that's a knock against the live action version.
The record, I did mention that, right? So
yeah.
We do have polls in chat, though, for those who are watching live on YouTube and Twitch. So if you wanted to make your voice heard, and which one you think is more, which one you vote for, the live action or the animated version of, we were talking about Ahsoka recently, and we're gonna have another poll for Anakin for each of these. So let us know what you think. Vote early, vote often. Wait, that's not a, I don't think you could do that there, but
does it let you do more than one vote?
No, I don't think so. I think
it's just, so vote early and vote once.
Yeah, once.
Yeah, but that would be my biggest thoughts on Anakin. Did you have any more thoughts on him before we move on to Obi-Wan?
I think now that we've kind of gotten past like each of our, you know, discussions on hours, I think it's worth saying that for me, the character of Anakin became more full, like you said, through the Clone Wars, the Clone Wars series. And obviously, you know, Matt is the one that voiced him during that. So, you know, as a character overall, I really, you know, had a bigger appreciation for Anakin after watching the Clone Wars. My buddy Joe, actually Kid Caduceus in chat, he's the one that told me to watch Clone Wars when I hadn't watched it yet. So to be able to now have a like better understanding of the character because of that. And there have been like many other things like comic books and all that stuff around that era, that prequel era, that really rounds out this character so well, that I have a much bigger appreciation for this character. So it's a big one. It's a, obviously he's Vader, right, guys? So I think it's only right that he has a great story and great actors behind him.
Yeah. Yeah. Hoot hoot, shout out Joe in chat as he's as he makes his voice heard there. We do have that poll going for Anakin. If you are watching the live version of the podcast and you want to cast your vote, feel more than welcome to do that. As we're moving on here towards our third of our four characters for today, we've done Ahsoka, we've done Anakin, and now we're doing Obi-Wan Kenobi. Now, Obi-Wan is unique because he has two live-action actors, not just one. And I guess you could kind of make the case for Anakin, too, but Darth Vader, you know, feels like a separate character from Anakin's, you know. So Ewan McGregor and Alec Guinness. Now, here, I'll ask you this. Oh, that's true. And Child Anakin. Yeah, we forgot about good old Jake Lloyd.
As, true, that's
thanks
true.
For reminding
yeah,
us,
yeah.
Gibbo. Yeah. Child Anakin.
I just completely I just completely didn't even think about it when,
yeah,
when
yeah.
I was making these lists. That's funny.
Jake Lloyd, Hayden Christensen, Matt Lanter. Yeah, there'd be a case to be made. You could make the case that Jake Lloyd is, you know, adds to the role in some particular way. But with Obi-Wan, though, do you think more about Ewan McGregor or Alec Guinness when you think about Obi-Wan?
I don't know. I think it's pretty split, you know, because I was in the era of, you know, I was around when Alec Guinness was around, you know, so I think that helps me. Maybe not a lot of, you know, not all Star Wars fans have that luxury. So for a good amount of time, when I thought of Obi-Wan, I was thinking of Alec Guinness, you know. So anyone that came in a little later into Star Wars, maybe they, you know, were just born later. The first movie they saw was Episode 2. I don't know if that, like, is anyone in particular. I don't know if anybody, because who would ever just watch Episode 2 first? It kind of seems like a weird thing.
And yeah, definitely not me.
Definitely not Ben. So for a large amount of my time in my life, you know, it was Alec Guinness, but obviously Ewan McGregor coming in to play a younger version of that, obviously. So I think it's pretty split for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can appreciate that. I think because I did come into Star Wars in the, probably the first time I ever watched Star Wars was in the really early 2000s, actually, now that I think about it. And because my first movie, sadly, was Attack of the Clones.
I didn't know that.
Ewan McGregor is the Obi-Wan I think of when I think of Obi-Wan. So for whatever that's worth, that's, and maybe internet culture is a large part of that too, because like, there's like Episode 3 has more memes associated with it than I think like the rest of the Star Wars movies combined. So maybe that just has like a role in cementing it in my head as well.
Oh, idea. But, Star Wars yeah. memes episode, by the way. Okay.
That'd be pretty good.
Just tie that away. Just put that away for a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. We could, let's chew on that after tonight's episode. do you want me to go first? You said on this one?
Yeah, you can go first on this one.
Okay. Well, for anyone that doesn't know, Obi-Wan is portrayed in animated version by James Arnold Taylor. And for anyone who also doesn't know, James Arnold Taylor is like a really accomplished voice actor. It's funny with voice actors, sometimes you don't hear much about their names because you don't know what they look like a lot of the times. Like maybe for most people, if you're watching the video version of the podcast, you're looking at this guy who's playing Obi-Wan, you're like, I've never seen that guy before in my life. and I think that's a lot of the experience of a lot of voice actors, but yet he's really well known. He plays Ratchet in Ratchet and Clank. He's played Fred Flintstone in commercials for the last almost 20 years. He voiced Johnny Test, which was a kids WB show back in the 2000s and many, many, many other roles. Just kind of a couple bit of interesting things about him. He dropped out of high school at the age of 16 to become a radio DJ. And then later, you know, kind of landed his roles in the acting world as a result of DJing. But the reason his name is James Arnold Taylor is because he was going by James Taylor. And people were confused that obviously James Taylor is a huge musician at the time. And even before James Arnold Taylor's time. So he started going by his full name, including his middle name, to distinguish himself from James Taylor, the singer. So he first played Obi-Wan, actually not in the 2008 Clone Wars. He first played him in the 2003 Clone Wars, the micro series, which I did not know before doing a little bit of research for this episode. So he's been around the Star Wars world for over 2 decades. He's been identified with Obi-Wan. But he did go on to continue to play the role in the 2008 movie and show, The Clone Wars. And then he also plays him in Rebels as well. and voices several other characters in Star Wars, including Plo Koon and a few other minor characters. So the reason he was chosen to voice the role of Obi-Wan back in 2003, at the time Attack of the Clones had just come out, and they wanted a certain continuity, at least George Lucas did at the time, between the way the character sounded in animation and the way that they were being portrayed on screen. And so they literally had, casting calls to find a quote unquote audio double for Ewan McGregor. So he was chosen because his voice most closely resembled Ewan's voice at the time. So that's kind of the history of how he was chosen for the role. A lot of the reason I would advocate for the animated version of Obi-Wan is similar to the reasons I would advocate for the animated version of Anakin. Although I will say, I think if the first matchup you said felt like a heavyweight undefeated, you know, high school basketball team versus just like a pretty good basketball team, this kind of feels like that as well, but almost the other way around. Like, I've got one voice actor going up against like two of the arguably most iconic Star Wars actors, if not just actors of the last 50 years. So I'm not going to pretend that like James Arnold Taylor is more recognizable as Obi-Wan than either Ewan McGregor or Alec Guinness. I don't even think he comes close to their recognizability. But what he does for the character, similar to Anakin, certainly it adds depth. It adds a lot of depth to the way you view Obi-Wan. If you don't watch the Clone Wars, and then you think about Obi-Wan's relationship with Anakin especially, it's like, yeah, it's a mentor role, but he kind of treats him harshly a little bit, and it feels like maybe he doesn't understand. You're like, he tries to be understanding, but he's harsh about towards him, especially about the Padme stuff. You view all of that stuff in a way different light when you, especially the Satine story. That's the main point I wanted to make with what the animated version of Obi-Wan adds. The Satine storyline, you see, also I think the statute of limitations has expired on this, so small spoilers if you are planning to watch Star Wars The Clone Wars and haven't seen it. But the way that he experiences heartbreak when Satine dies, it is revealing of the character in a way that we have never seen before. You know, in episode 4, he's this stoic guy who's teaching Luke the secrets of the Force and what it means to be a Jedi. In episode 1, he's kind of relegated to a smaller role. You know, he's the apprentice of Qui-Gon. And in episodes 2 and 3, you see him take on kind of a larger role, being this mentor and teacher, and then experiencing the sadness in episode 3 of his kind of his failure, but also his loss of a friend. Even through all of that, you don't experience like really, really, really big grief in the same way that his character does when he loses the woman he loved. It makes you see the character in a whole new light. And for that reason, I think I would put my word in for James Arnold Taylor's contribution to the character being really significant. He's given Obi-Wan more depth, and we're able to flesh out kind of his motivations and background in a way that is really enlightening to the character of Obi-Wan Kenobi as a whole.
I think in Kid Caduceus here in YouTube said, I can't see it right now. So is it Ewan and Alec versus James? Because that's not fair.
That's what I would saying, agree. Kid Caduceus. It's stacked against me this round.
I would agree. I would agree. I'll make this quick though, because you kind of laid all of it out for me, really, honestly. Because you know, they even in the hiring of James Arnold Taylor, they said we want somebody exactly like Ewan. So that's one huge thing, and you know, unfortunately, you know, the broader fan base of Star Wars will, you know, gravitate to Alec Guinness, to Ewan McGregor. And probably the people who have watched Clone Wars, at least for the first little bit, might have thought that was Ewan McGregor, you know, because, yeah, James Arnold Taylor does a really, really good job. So for you, you know, when you first hear him in Clone Wars, you may actually think it's Ewan McGregor. But going back to specifically for the live action actors, I mean, I'll start with Alec Guinness. When you first see him on screen in A New Hope, you know that this is the wise guy, the wise mentor, right? I almost said wise guy. That's a different thing. Wise mentor to Luke. You know, he'll end up being this. And, you know, where he was, he brought a level of not only maturity and wisdom, but also, like, you were comfortable. This was the guy. This was who you could lean on in such a short amount of time, you know, because he was able to tell the stories the way he did, because he was able to just really act in a way that, because he doesn't have a huge, huge role, you know. If you really think about, you know, A New Hope and, you know, the prequels, not a ton, you know, if you really think about it. But that's how impactful his performance was. You knew of the entity of Obi-Wan because of him and what it means in the greater world of Star Wars. I would love to see, like, numbers on, like, how much screen time Alec Guinness actually got in comparison and how many lines. But it wasn't a ton. It actually wasn't, you know, because he ends up, you know, obviously he doesn't make it out of, I think, the Statue of Limitations for sure out for New Hope, right? So he doesn't make it out of, you know, of that movie.
Almost 50 years.
Yeah, right. And, you know, very minimal in the remaining. So I think just having that, you know that you've got something special in this particular actor, that he was able to embody this role in such a short amount of time and be so significant. And then to pass it along to Ewan McGregor, which I agree with Kit Caduceus. This is an unfair battle, man. Like, you want to talk about, you know, handing it from Jordan to, like, Kobe? Like, this is pretty, you know, this is pretty similar, you know? So I think, you know, in Ewan's, I mean, obviously younger actor, but you saw his character develop, like you said, through episodes 1 through 3. He was that, you know, he was the student. And I think seeing that transformation from him, from student, you know, to Jedi Master, you know, being able to see that, to a teacher, to a mentor, seeing all of that happen within the 3 movies kind of seamlessly, right? And just be real, real consistent all the way through. Now, he had much more screen time than Alec Guinness, obviously. But to be able to see that, that growth, not only in the character, but the actor himself, you know, to be able to kind of shift gears so quickly into each movie. And then they go off, they love him so much that they make a whole other TV series, limited series, decades later, you know? Mm-hmm. And you want to talk about cultural impact, Hello There is probably one of the top memes and, you know, things that you could probably see ever on the internet or hear. So I think that, you know, just to have that kind of impact again, with Ewan, especially, you know, we could argue that it's pretty, you know, depending on when you're born, you know, who is your Obi-Wan, right? It's these two. It's either Alec or Ewan or both, you know? So I think that kind of says it all itself.
Yeah, this is the one matchup I was looking at today, and I was like, yeah, I'm probably going to vote for live action for this one. I love James Arnold Taylor as Obi-Wan, don't get me wrong, but just, like, you do think of the live action for this one. Like, off the top, I said about Ahsoka, like, she's the most associated, arguably, like, the most synonymous. Ashley Eckstein is the most synonymous with the character of Ahsoka. You could also make the case with either of these two guys in Obi-Wan also being, like, equally as synonymous with those characters. So we've got just one more character today, Joey, that we're talking about. Our fourth and final one. Do you wanna share what that one is?
Because yeah, Darth Maul.
Yeah,
we're gonna do Darth Maul. This is kind of meme-y a little bit, because Darth Maul is only in, and this is more of a layup slam dunk for you than it is for me, honestly. Let's be honest. Because in the live action version of Darth Maul, he's really, you know, only in episode one, Phantom Menace. And also in, okay, here's another spoiler, at the end of Solo. So, oh, I didn't tell you actually, Ben. So my brother, you know, one of the people that introduced me to Star Wars, not only watched Solo for the first time in its entirety, like in the past, like 6 months. So he hadn't even watched the movie, since, you know, in its entirety, and did not know that Darth Maul was at the end of the movie. I'm like, how did you miss that?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Every spoiler ever. I guess Solo just doesn't get the you know, the press that everything else gets.
Not to go too off topic, but I've never, I mean, it's not as good as Rogue One. I've never understood the hate for it. I really haven't. I like it better than all three of the sequel films.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, yeah, not to yeah, go off we, on a tangent know, I, too much, but
yeah, I've been on record to say that, you know, obviously with, you know, Donald Glover and Lando's in there. So of course I'm going to love it, you know, as much as I do. But yeah, I agree. I don't understand why. And I would even call it hate. I think it's more of just like, I don't really care. You like it, like, yeah, indifference apathy. Almost.
Yeah.
So, so very, very minimal of a screen time for Darth Maul in live action. You've got Ray Park playing the actor himself. I think he did get some lines in, but also there was another voice actor named Peter Serafinowicz, I believe the name is, and he had actually said the lines in Phantom Menace. So just very, very small role. But the one thing obviously that you get from Darth Maul, you know, and I think this speaks a lot to how this character was built, designed. I mean, when you saw this in the theater, Ben, when you saw Darth Maul, the double-sided lightsaber, the horns, the makeup. I mean, if you want to talk about menace, if you want to talk about something that instilled fear into your soul as a Star Wars fan, Darth Maul in live action was it. You know, even to this day, you see this, you know, we see it on the screen here for anyone who's watching the video version of the podcast, menacing and like terrifying. You don't want to, if you're walking at nighttime and you see this coming at you, you're running away, you know. So I think it, you know, it speaks more to the actors themselves, the design itself, as it does the actor. And of course, Ray Park, just an amazing kind of physical actor, you know, in the way he could, you know, choreograph all of the lightsaber battles that he had done with Qui-Gon Jinn, and also and not Anakin, but with Obi-Wan, to see that. And if I'm not mistaken, when they had the Ahsoka and Darth Maul fight in Clone Wars, Ray Park was actually the person they did motion capture with.
Yeah.
So if you want to talk, because, you know, you've talked about how the animated, you know, with Ashley Eckstein was the voice in Rise of Skywalker. Here's the other way that you have Ray Park doing the motion capture for Darth Maul. So just to have that, I think, is something special.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's certainly something to be said for the original being Ray Park and Peter Serafinowicz. Kid Caduceus is saying Peter Serafinowicz was also the gun clerk in John Wick and the annoying roommate in Shaun of the Dead. Huh. Fun fact. There you go. Yeah, so the voice acting done by Peter Serafinowicz in episode one, that's still his voice, what you hear if you were to watch that movie today. I think there is something to be said about the original, right? Like, you spoke to his menacingness. You know, you look at Darth Maul, and you're like, oh, that's not a dude to be messed with. However, I would make the case that this is the only one of the four characters we've talked about, Ahsoka, Anakin, Obi-Wan, and Maul. I would make the case that this is the only one where the first iteration of the character is not the one we most associate with the character. Interestingly, like Ahsoka, I think, unless something changes with the live action show, I think we'll always associate that with animation. Obi-Wan, definitely live action. Anakin, probably live action too. This is interesting because obviously Darth Maul was in live action first, animation second. But for me, I was thinking about this. I think I associate Sam Witwer with Darth Maul a lot more than I do Ray Park, and definitely more than Peter Serafinowicz. Sam Witwer, for those who don't know, is the voice actor for Darth Maul and later Maul after he's no longer Darth Maul. Just a couple fun facts about Sam Witwer. He was kicked out of Juilliard after 2 years for not having good enough grades.
He looks like the type.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you guess what Sam Witwer's first on-screen credit was? I thought this was hilarious when I read it because it is so applicable for you specifically.
For me specifically?
Yes, yes.
Gosh, I couldn't even tell you.
His first on-screen credit was a Chicago Bulls commercial.
Yes. Yeah, that is very specific to me.
Yeah, yeah. And that later landed him roles, speaking roles in TV series, including ER initially. And he's been in Walking Dead, Smallville, Dexter, Once Upon a Time, and Supergirl, all in the past like 15 years. So he's got a pretty wide range of stuff he's done. But as it pertains specifically to Star Wars, kind of got his first in to the world of Star Wars voicing Galen Merrick in the Force Unleashed games. I think he also voiced Darth Sidious in the first game as well. And then his entrance into Star Wars animation itself, he actually voiced in the Mortis arc. They brought him in to audition for that, for the Sun, which he did play. And there's this really like now well-known story that has, I've seen like a YouTube short of this before, and maybe a lot of people have heard this story, but for anyone that hasn't, basically they brought him in to audition for the Son of Mortis for this 3-episode arc of the Clone Wars. And the writers and Dave Filoni and whoever are talking about the lines in the scene, right? And there's this scene where Anakin is basically having a dream or a vision. I can't recall the exact story. But in the dream or the vision, he's speaking to Shmi, his mother. And they're talking, the writers, they're like, oh, he should, you know, he says, I have a wife now. I want you to meet her. And then the way the story goes is that Sam Witwer raises his hand. He's like, that can't happen. You know, I don't know exactly what he said, but basically that can't happen. They've already met. And everyone in the room is kind of like, wait, what? Oh, they have met. He's right. You know? And so the mythology around that story is that kind of, made Dave like him in a way that sort of indebted him to him and got him to come in and audition for Maul, which is what led to that. Anyways, so yeah, that's the quote. Kid Caduceus in chat put it there. Do you want me to stop? No, keep doing it. Keep doing it, Dave Filoni says to him. Yeah. Yeah. So he's a Star Wars super fan, really, which is what I'm trying to get at. He's someone who loves Star Wars. Is not just playing the character, but knows the character deeply, probably more deeply than the writers actually do, which you could make the case, maybe Ashley Eckstein might be that way as well, but of anyone that we've talked about today, knows and understands the world of the character and the character itself really, really well. So as you mentioned, Ray Park acting in Solo, Sam Witwer actually did the voiceover for that. So they have actually acted in the same project as the same role, which I think is the only, maybe the only one of that that's occurred in today's of who we talked about. But yeah, his voice is particularly iconic. You know, Kid Caduceus in the chat also noting the line. He's really well known for saying that just that gravelly way he says Kenobi in that episode of Clone Wars. I remember, Joey, just kind of an anecdotal story about animated Maul. I remember when I was watching this on Cartoon Network as it was coming out, you know, week after week. And I remember the commercial when his face appeared at the end and it was like coming next season, you know, I don't know what it said. And I just remember thinking, what? They brought him back? How could they do that? And initially I was like, that totally undermines like how getting cut in half works. but I would legitimately say this was one of the best decisions Star Wars animation ever made. I mean, especially like people my age and younger really connect with Maul's character in a way now that they never would have if they didn't make this decision in animation. Not that he's like a good guy or anything, but he is a character who you really kind of love to hate. I think that's what makes him great, especially in animation. There's so much more depth to it. You see even more of that depth in his role in Rebels and kind of his pseudo mentorship to Ezra. And I think Sam Witwer has done so much for the role of Maul. And now we're getting Maul Shadowhunter. Is it Maul Shadowhunter, I think the name of it? Or is that the name of the book? Now I'm second guessing myself. The Maul show that's coming out next year. Yeah. We'll get even more of him. And I'm so stoked for that. You have no idea. Long story short, to end my rambling, Sam Witwer for me, like, embodies Darth Maul. Appreciative of Ray Park's origin and starting it, and Peter Serafinowicz, but I think Sam Witwer is Maul for me. So probably what I would conclude my point on that one being. Did you have any other thoughts on the Maul matchup?
I think, you know, now that we've kind of gone through ours, you know, each of our discussions here, I mean, Sam Witwer, and I think Kid Caduceus said this in chat, Sam Witwer is Star Wars. You know, that I mean, he knows everything about it. He geeks out about it. He'll, you know, to be able to, I like to say this with my friends, to actually, you know, to the writers, to George and to Dave, and be like, actually, you know what? You can't do that. You know, so just to have that even in your back pocket, I mean, you know, you've got somebody who loves this franchise. So I always love having that. You know, that's a big plus for me when the actor is so, you know, he exudes like, you know, Star Wars. This is what he's about. So I think, you know, I just want to make that point towards Sam. Like I said, with Ray and Peter, like, it's just like, this was the character it was. But like you said, Sam Witwer. And I think what we can both agree on is that if you just have not watched the animated series for whatever reason, Spy on Sports, I'm looking at you. If you can take some time and watch these stories, I'm telling you, it gives so much depth to all of these characters, to all of these stories, and it makes it for even a better Star Wars experience at the end.
Maybe we should get Kid Caduceus to give his pitch to Spy on Sports. being such a big fan of Clone Wars. Yeah, lots of different aspects to these characters. You know, there's good things about the live action ones and good things about the animated ones. And all in all, it's kind of the totality of those contributions to the character that, you know, drive the image of the character in our minds. So in some way or another, there's lots of positive contributions from both sides of this. So, appreciate those of you who voted in today's polls, by the way. I don't have access, or at least I don't have up on my screen anywhere what if there were polls on Twitch or anything, what those came out to be. But I do have the results of the YouTube polls that we did.
All right.
It looks like Ahsoka was animated. 75% went towards the animated side. Anakin was a 50-50, which honestly surprises me a little bit.
A little bit, yeah, actually.
Yeah, yeah. I think I voted for live action, too. yeah, so Anakin was 50-50. I know I definitely voted for live action on Obi-Wan. Obi-Wan was 100-0, which I think is really indicative of what we talked about, yeah. And then Maul animated was about 75-25, so. Kid Caduceus is going to start his dissertation why people should watch Star Wars The Clone Wars. Hey, I'd read it. I would definitely read it. Well, we appreciate those of you listening to today's episode or watching it, those of you watching it live especially. Tune in next time for our next episode, in which we will be talking about all things Star Wars Visions. I cannot believe we are less than a week away from that. That's really the last Star Wars project of the 2025 calendar year. And I cannot wait. I hope there's a lot of people excited for this. It's just, it's one of the things that each time it comes out, there's only 10 episodes. And I'm like, man, do I want to breeze through these, or do I want to take time to savor them a little bit? But I imagine in some capacity or another, we'll have some probably reactions to those episodes available on the Hoth Hangout YouTube channel. For those of you wanting to check those out, definitely encourage you to do so. And the Ninth Jedi follow-up is coming out. So looking forward to that. Less than a week away. Special shout out to Kid Caduceus in chat today, by the way, for hanging out throughout the episode. Appreciate you. And thank you to all those of you who are subscribed, by the way, to the Hoth Hangout podcast on YouTube. We recently, I can't recall if we hit this at the last episode or not, or if it's been since the last episode, but we officially are over 500 subscribers, which was a huge milestone of ours for a while. So thank you to those of you who are subscribed. And if you're listening or watching and you're not yet subscribed on YouTube, definitely hit that subscribe button. We'd appreciate it very much. You can also contact us via email at hothhangout@gmail.com. with your Star Wars thoughts, questions, or otherwise, and we'd love to showcase them on next week's episode of the podcast. You can find the Hoth Hangout podcast anywhere you get your pods, including both Apple and Spotify. And if you're listening on either of those platforms or any platform that allows you to leave a 5-star review, leave a 5-star review on the podcast. We'd appreciate it, and it allows it to be more easily discovered by other people that love Star Wars as well. Check us out on the socials, on Instagram, TikTok, or X, and of course, now also streaming the live episodes of the podcast, not only on YouTube, but also on Twitch. So we're at Hoth Hangout on all of those platforms, including the link to our community Discord server, which is also available down in the show notes of today's episode. Joey, any last thoughts on today's topic or the world of Star Wars today?
You know, I set up this these names here, Ahsoka, Anakin, Obi-Wan, Maul, because I wanted it to be split, you know, animated for two, live action for two, but somebody, whoever it was, can't believe that Anakin, he came up with a tie. So I'm actually surprised by that. So, congratulations, Ben, on your debate for,
I don't know that
winning
means that
the
I
debate here.
I genuinely think that's just because Anakin is so annoying in episode two. I think that's what that comes down to.
Right. Yes. And it's fair. It's fair. So I think it was a great discussion, you know, something that I don't think I've seen before. So I thought it was a fun little spin on, you know, some discussions that we could have. Because, I mean, after 3 years of this, Ben, you start running out of ideas of what we can do. So, but I like how, you know, as we talk about certain things, topics just pop up naturally. So hopefully we can continue to do that for a little while here. So, but yeah, Visions coming up. We're excited for that. And I can't wait for Ninth Jedi and all the animated and all the anime Star Wars that we can get.
Yeah. Speaking of which, Shadow Lord, not Shadow Hunter, was the Maul show.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm pretty sure Shadow Hunter is a book that I've read about Maul, but nonetheless, that comes out sometime next year. So Appreciate those of you listening today once again, and a special last thank you and shout out to Gibbo for producing today's episode. Gibbo is both great in live action and in animated form.
I'd like to see an animated Gibbo right here. I'm just saying, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. Appreciate all those of you listening once again. Tune in next time for our discussion and recap of all the Season 3 Star Wars Visions episode. Hope to catch you then. And until next time, may the Force be with you.